Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for another day that you've brought in us. And we pray that you bring peace into Graham's heart. If there's anything stirring there from the nervousness of sharing today, I pray that you speak through him and give him the words to speak to us. And if it goes off in a different direction, Lord, that's totally okay. And we live for you, we long for you, so guide us, guide Graham. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joe. Ki ara bashana. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See you soon. Ooh. We can talk about community, or we can experience community. This is for Hannah, who stepped out. I want to continue with community. Oh, I'll say again, Hannah has come back. Hannah, I said, we can talk about community or we can experience community. And you know, Hannah's done some excellent talking about community 5 times now, 6. And we hear it and it's great. But until we experience it and live it, you know, we haven't really received what the Lord is doing. So I just want to continue. It felt right to continue on this theme of community. Hannah's sharing more again next week, and we'll see where that goes. How many people were here last week? And we had a great time of getting into groups and discovering scriptures together. This week, Judith and I, have really experienced community in a new way. And many of you know, I don't have to go into the details, but the doctor on Monday gave me not so encouraging news about the old ticker. And so we're processing that, and probably we'll have to have surgery soon or something. So it's all in the Lord's hands. But when you go through something like that, it shocks you. You know, it shocks you. Yeah. Asking the Lord why, you know, I didn't know there was anything wrong until they started doing tests and then said, hey, there's something wrong. But the good news is the Lord is revealing that which was hidden before it's seriously serious. Catastrophic. So that's been our week. But the amazing thing is the number of people in this community and in family community and other community, our friends and family in UK and here, have reached out in prayer and have reached out in community. There's such a real sense that people care when you experience something like that. You know, it's never really happened to me. It's always someone else. And then when it does happen, you realize and experience the love that comes from community. And I know we've said this many times, and you've said it yourselves, many of you, is how do people get through these things when they don't have community? You know, and our church family is such a powerful and strong community that we need to stop talking about it and start experiencing it. So thanks, Hannah, for keeping us on track with that. But let's see what we can do. Oh, the scriptures come. I mean, people pray, people encourage, and then connections, the coincidences of scripture or people sharing, and the Lord's saying, look, I've told you this, and then suddenly it's somewhere else. And it was either the same day or the day after we saw the cardiologist. We'd read in the daily, through the Bible readings, in Lamentations. Then that Monday, well, it must be Monday, I guess, because that Monday night, I wasn't here, but the prayer team were praying, and Chuck sent me a scripture, which I guess came out through the praying, and it was Lamentations 3. You know, it's not something you jump to very often. But it's a verse that we're all aware aware of, it's because of the... Oh, I'm going to read it in the Amplified because it kind of pads it out a little bit and throws in some... So you know this scripture, but let's just expand it a little bit. It is because of the Lord's mercy and loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his tender compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great and abundant is your stability and faithfulness. The Lord is my portion or share, says my living being, my inner self. Therefore will I hope in him and wait expectantly for him. The Lord is good to those who wait hopefully and expectantly for him, to those who seek him, inquire of and for him, and require him by right of necessity and on the authority of God's word. You know, his compassions fail not. He is with us. And you know, that was such an encouraging scripture that came from multiple angles. So the Lord speaks when we're in community. He uses you to be community to others when it's important and necessary. So with that kind of experience, let's keep looking into community and where we're going to go today. I want to do a little bit of a review. If you're like me, you've forgotten what Hannah said last week. We know it was good. We know it was fun. We know we had time sharing together. But what did she actually say? And what did we say? Because actually, most of you did the sermon last week, which was really fun. So I want to go through those scriptures and just refresh our memory of the scriptures that Hannah brought to us and had us reviewing and looking for the benefits of community versus the cost of community. And boy, don't the benefits far outweigh the cost? We saw that. So I'm going to go through that. And then let's see how this community, Jesus is the head of the community. And finally, how do we care for the community? And we'll just go through some of those things. But first, last week, great discussion. Anyone remember your answers? What did you say when you got to each? It's good, don't have to shout them out this week or go around with the microphone, but see if you can remember the things that you were thinking of when we went through these scriptures. So Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12, two are better than one. There you are, there's community forming because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Sorry, Terry Lynn, that's not a good scripture. We're praying for you, Terry Lynn. Yeah. But someone was there to help you get up. Thank the Lord for community. Also, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We're not alone. We work in community. And the community that we're part of here helps us. It encourages us. We have others to work with and support each other. We keep each other warm, you know, metaphorically and physically in many ways. If we do fall, whether we fall spiritually or emotionally, something comes upon us, then someone in the community is there to lift us up again. And these are the important things. The last sentence is often used in a wedding ceremony. You know, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. That's true. We see the Lord coming into a relationship. Then that's a great message and sermon, especially for newlyweds at their ceremony. But that's true in community too, because it's right at the back end of all these other things that are going on. It wasn't standalone. It wasn't God teaching about marriage at the time. He's talking about community. And the community of two coming together, or three coming together, or two with the blessing of the Lord, which is even better. You know, community is our strength. Then we moved on. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. That's why we come together. It's not because it's a rule that you must be, you know, here 3 Sundays out of 4, otherwise you don't get the blessing. You know, there's no rules like that. We come together because we want to be together. We come together because in community we sense the working of the Lord. We sense the Holy Spirit amongst us. And that's why we do it. But let's consider how we spur each other on. You know, every Saturday an email comes out which tries to spur you on to be here. And this week I thought it was going to be good. We had an extra hour, and then Blue Jays stole it. So it's still a struggle this morning for those that conquered. 40,000 people in community cheering on the Blue Jays, and maybe the others, whoever they were, and that's. That was community, that was enthusiasm, that was power. That could be the church. And we need to build that community, that sense of being together. So let's not give up coming together. We need each other, we need to be in community, we need to share. And there's many times we can do that. Sunday is a really important time coming together. And we do that every week. But there's other times. We saw in the announcements, you know, Thursday, if the women will be coming together in community. Home groups, Wednesday in Almont, prayer group, Monday night. Maybe it's meeting 2 or 3 for coffee. Maybe it's having lunch together. You know, maybe it's just dropping in and saying hi to somebody, taking something that they have need of. You know, there's lots of ways we can be together in community. But let's consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. But don't give up. Even more as you see the day approaching, and we happily sit down and say, oh, it's close, I see the end coming, it's not long now. Well, if we're seeing that and saying that, then this is what we need to be doing. We need to be encouraging one another as we see the day coming. Galatians 6:1-2, brothers and sisters, that's all of us, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. It is a law. Jesus, Christ has set a law down that we need to fulfill, it says in Scripture. So carrying each other's burdens, being community, helping somebody when they're falling, if they do fall into sin. Anyone not falling in sin here? Good, honest people. Yeah, we do. But we have each other to come alongside and say, it's okay, let me help you. But let's come before our Father and ask forgiveness, because he is faithful and just and will forgive us when we confess our sins. Proverbs 17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for a time of adversity. It's really in those times of adversity, in those difficult times, in those challenging times, is when we need a community. We can survive, and often we do, on our own when things are going well. And in fact, that's always a temptation to leave community. Well, I'm good. You know, my work is good. My family is good. I've got good pay, and things are great. So why don't I need church? And then some adversity comes. Something hits us, and we start thinking, whoa. I need that community. I need that support. I need that encouragement. So a friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for a time of adversity. That's why we have each other. Jude 1:20-23. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Now, it's starting to get a little strong, these now. We, in community, we can look for others and snatch them from the pit of hell. We can rescue them when they're falling. We can go and find them when they don't know anything about the Lord. But all of these scriptures that talk about rescuing and saving and snatching from sin and from you know, hell and the devil and the enemy, they always come with a warning that we don't fall into the same problem. You know, it's easy to go with pride to help someone and then end up in the same situation. So it comes with a warning. We are there to help each other and to, you know, bring people back to eternal life. Couple others about supporting one another in Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily. How many times a week is that? You remember Hannah said there's a scale of 1 to 7, and then you put on it how many, what your score is for the days of community between 1 and 7. You know, that's an interesting little test. You know, how often do we connect with others? Maybe, is it only Sunday morning? That probably isn't enough to be in true community. Maybe it's Sunday morning and a home group. You know, let's look at how we can connect in different ways. And sometimes it's just a text or email. That's connecting, phone call. You don't have to do a great big event to connect and be community. And something's just coming to mind. I'm trying to remember what it was. But this week, as we were processing everything that was happening, we got message from some couple of times from people we haven't heard from for a long time. And it was just a text saying something like, "We're praying for you, and here's a scripture. You know, the Lord put you on my heart, and I prayed for you, and here." And they had no idea. But that's part of community, listening to the Lord and responding to it. How do we do that? You know, let's not skip those times when you have the thought, "Oh, I should connect with so-and-so." That might just be the person they need to hear from right then. And again, experiencing it this week, I can assure you, it is powerful. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. James 5:16, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." And these are scriptures we love to read and we love to quote and we love to believe in. They're all based around each other, one another, and community. So there we are, some of the scriptures that we went through last week. So what about, we are the church. Jesus comes into this somewhere. If we were just doing this in community and helping each other, then we're just a community group. There's lots of those. You know, the food bank is a community service. There's clubs and there's organizations that are groups for the community to come together and encourage and help each other. Nothing wrong with those, they're all good. But if we only stay there, then we're just a community group, not a church community. And we need to become a church community, which is different. Why is it different? Well, Jesus is involved. We often declare here, especially when we're starting our service and we pray, submitting to Jesus. Scripture tells us that Jesus is the head of his church. And we submit to that headship. Scripture also tells us that he is the builder. So in Hebrews, it's a little small up there because a lot of writing on one slide. Let me read out Hebrews 3:1 to 6. "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling," that's all of us, "fix your thoughts on Jesus," that's a good idea, "whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Now, if you asked any Jewish person, certainly back when these were being written, you know, who's the most important person in the world, they would have said Moses. Still today, many of the Jewish community would say Moses, one of the great people in their history. But he was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. It wasn't necessarily Paul writing this one, but I like the scriptures where it's going through step by step, breaking it down, expanding. Okay, let's take it this way. Think of a house. What's better, the house at the end or the person that built it? He's saying, making the declaration, well, the builder's greater worth than the house at the end because it's the builder that did the work. Without the builder, there would be no house. And Jesus has been found worthy in greater honor, just as this builder would be in building a house. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. And other translations use the word architect as well. You know, God is the designer. God creates all things. Jesus is the builder. We are the building at the end. Okay, it's important to recognize that Jesus is the builder of the church. So verse 5, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And we are his house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. There's a couple of ifs in there that are important to grasp. We're not going to go into those right now this morning. But go back and read these scriptures and get the ifs out of there. You know, if indeed. But when I was reading this earlier in the week, it just struck me. There's two different ways of saying almost the same thing. It says Moses was faithful as a servant in God's house. Jesus is faithful as the Son over God's house. So, and that's what makes Jesus better than Moses. Moses was a great man, a great prophet. He heard God. He wrote most of the Torah. And he was declaring what was to come. But Jesus is what was to come, and Jesus is over the house, us. It's quite clear in these scriptures, when you just take time to break it down a little bit and see that important part. And we are his house. Therefore, this community group becomes a church community when we allow Jesus to be over the house that he has built. Where's Joseph? What do you do now? Are you hearing me? It's one of the things Joseph learned for speaking in Africa. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing the word of the Lord? Also, we have Ephesians 2:19-22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens. We've come into a community. We're now part of that community. We're citizens in this Christian community, in the family of God. But fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. Well, we just saw the house is the church that Jesus is over. He built it. We're now members of that household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. They were really important people. They weren't God. They were prophets. They were apostles. They did the work of God. They declared the word of God. Jesus did the building. Holy Spirit through these people now continues that work. But with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, there would be no house if there was no cornerstone. In him, The whole building is joined together. So this community, this building, is joined together and connected because of Jesus, and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. God's got a great track record of building temples. We can read about the tabernacle, we can read about Solomon's temple, and we can look to see what may be happening in the future. But God builds temples. What he's building here, through Jesus as the master builder, with us as the stones, he's building a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen. Do you want to be a dwelling in which God lives? I think that's pretty exciting. The dwelling in which God lives, though, is based on this whole building. Okay, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us that. Holy Spirit will dwell within us, but it's the community that becomes the temple. It's the building of us together. You know, Hannah brought it out well a few weeks ago, the pluralization of you. When I first moved to Canada, I was really intrigued, because there is no plural word for you in the English language. But in the Canadian language, there is. Because they say, hey, yous. Are yous guys coming? What do yous think about that? So, you know, it makes it much easier. If only the Bible was written with yous instead of just you, we would know. But when we're talking about building things together, it's hard to build a Lego house with one brick. Trust me. It's been a while, but trust me. We can only build when many bricks come together. And it's that building that Jesus does with us, building community, building the church, that makes us a holy temple in the Lord and makes us a dwelling in which God lives. Those are the scriptures that encourage us about God's dwelling. Some of the Psalms, you know, he inhabits the praises of his people. I think a few talks back, I talked a little bit around some of the dwelling where God lives and the places and the scriptures that support that. But these are important things. Jesus is the builder. And Jesus is what makes a community group, a church community. And if we don't get to that point, then, hey, we can do some good things, but they're not eternal. And they're not for the kingdom of God. They're just for now. And good things, as I say, we need those things. But doing it as a community of God is much more long-term and effective. So, I also said, you know, God's got a track record of building temples. So, you know, and we're not going to get into the stories now. You go look them up in Exodus for the tabernacle, and then later as a designing the temple and building it. You know, David was shown it, but Solomon built it. And we see in Scripture how much God cared about his place of worship. You know, the tabernacle was built so God could abide there and they could go and worship him there. The temple was built so they could go, come together and worship the Lord. Now, things have changed. I recognize that. We don't need a building like the tabernacle now, since Jesus has come. However, we can see from that some of the characters of God. You know, he does care about how we worship. He does care about where we come. Sometimes, look back through church history, you know, maybe it's been misunderstood or over-applied, and we got these great cathedrals that have been built. But they built them with the genuine intent of honoring a great God. Here, we don't have a great cathedral. We have a wonderful warehouse. But we want to use it to be honoring to God. You know, we might not have stained glass windows and a great big altar, but we want to honor God in it. And there's some characteristics that we can find from the scriptures that talk about how God cares about the way we come together in community to worship him. So as I say, I want to be careful because I don't want to give any impression that we need to be in a cathedral to meet God. That's not true. And many people, I've come across a number over the years that have met God just on their own. There's one guy, I've mentioned him before, you know, back in my Navy days, we were on ship. He just went one night, it was dark, he was walking around the upper deck, and he met the Lord. You know, you don't have to be in a great place, but God does care the way we use his name. And if we talk about being the church of Jesus and coming together to worship him and the community of Jesus over with him over us, and we just don't care about the way we do it, then that's dishonoring to the name of the Lord. And we want to be careful in doing that. We can see some of these characteristics in Exodus 25. I'm not going to read it all. It's a list of things. But the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. This is the first thing, and I want to kind of finish up going down this track a little bit. You know, to build the temple, to build the tabernacles, both times it needed the people to respond. God could have said, oh, there's a tabernacle. He could have said, there's the temple. He didn't. He said, bring me what you've got. I'm going to build from what you bring. And the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. And you know, we can often misappropriate scriptures like this when we're fundraising. But you know, it's all about our desire to support and honor the Lord and bring it. And these are the offerings you are to receive from them. And he lists all the things. Starts with gold. We don't usually start there on an offering sermon. Maybe we should. You know, silver, bronze, and the whole list there. These are all the things needed to build their community, their temple, their tabernacle, where God could abide. So it's the principles are the same. We're not building a cathedral here, but we're building a community, which is the building of Jesus, which is where we connect with each other, live in community. And it's necessary. And verse 8, then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. There's that dwelling again. He wants to dwell with his people. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. And that tells me God knows what he wants. He will tell us what he wants. Most of what he tells us is already written in Scripture. And we read that and we build based on Scripture. Sometimes in the actual application, we will get some input from the Holy Spirit, either prophetically or interpretation of Scripture or a wise thought. However the Spirit will speak to you, in that this is how we should do this. And when we see those things being done, there's favor on it because it's us doing exactly what God had designed. If we say, that's not right, God, I'm going to do it my way because it's better, it's easier, then we can't expect God's favor to be upon it. We're not building exactly like the pattern he shows us. So these things all start coming together to how do we build community? How do we build a facility in which community can function? Well, we need to follow Scripture, follow the Spirit, and apply and honor his name in what we do. Sometimes we get the tough scriptures. Haggai, who reads Haggai anyway? Yes. Just there. We've been going through the minor prophets in the Wednesday home group, and it's been very interesting getting into some of these prophetic words and stories of the time and so on. But in Haggai 1:4, we're told, is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? here again is a principle that we can take. They were talking about the temple, it was ruined, and everybody was quite happy living where they were. Their houses were great, they had 3 bathrooms, 5 bedrooms, and a finished basement. But the temple needed an electrician. The temple had mice running through it. She got that one. And the heart of God is about our thoughts. Very often, my selfish desires, what I want for myself, comes before what the Lord wants for his community, his house, his building. Okay? And we've said this many times, this is a very generous community. So I'm not saying this to point fingers at anybody. We always are generous. But we do need to stop and think, am I putting myself, my own desires, before the Lord? We heard last week, and we discussed in groups last week, the cost of community. It doesn't come free. And there's different costs for different people. You don't have to pay for someone else, you have to pay for yourself. Now, other people are called to do their pieces in the community. You're called to do your piece in the community. As we do it all together, then God is glorified and his kingdom will come. We honor him. So let's just take time each time we're thinking about, oh, I'm going to do something on my own property, my own belongings, my own life. You know, is that taken away from something I should be doing for the Lord? And these become important questions to ask. Let's not leave the building of the Lord, the community, the church, the facilities that make it function in ruins when our personal houses are in good conditions. And we don't talk much about money and giving here. In fact, Chuck scared me a couple of weeks ago because he said at the front, we don't take offerings. Well, I think I nearly jumped up and hit him. No, I didn't. And if you're listening, Chuck, I love you. But what he meant is we don't pass an offering basket around and check everybody. We don't look into your T4s. We don't say, oh, are you tithing properly and things like that. That's totally between you and the Lord. And we do take offerings. In case you're new and you're wondering, how do we give here? And strange enough, we've had people ask that. You know, I've been coming for a while, how do we give? Always happy to answer that question. But we got the boxes on the back wall. That's really what Chuck meant, is we don't pass around a plate, but drop your offering in the box. Bring your gold and your silver and your lazai lapis and your diamonds and whatever else, your nicest pieces of wood and whatever else you might have. And bring it to the Lord. It's our offering to him. And we've seen how he needs us to be able to respond. He needs us to be paying the price of that community building that's going on. And there's some very practical and obvious things that need to be done. You've seen this picture before. It's on the website if you want to go and check it out as well. I kind of found it fun. This is when we were getting the name put on the side of the building. For a long time, we didn't really have a name. We just had the old sign at the front. And people would come in here, especially when the Lakehead was at the back for the wall, testing their kit before they bought it and all that sort of stuff. People would drive in here and say, are you selling canoes? It was a good opening, but we put the sign on the side, and the guy came and did it. I was with him while he was doing it, and we've seen this kind of joke or pun in a number of places. Lots of churches use it, and I thought, wow, this is actually real. They were putting the sign up and they are doing church, and for some reason, whether it's on purpose or not, they hadn't put up the you are, you know. So we say, what is missing? And yeah, that's kind of fun. And that picture is like, without all of the words, right, is on the website to help people find us. But you are missing if you're not present. And be part of WCC in practical ways. And so as I wrap up, let's just talk about some ways we can do that, which are really important. And Hannah did go through them very quickly last week as well. Just say, this is how we do community here. But it's probably, yeah, we're turned off by then. So let's do it again. To be the church. When an architect designs a building, and when the building is built, it is dependent on a lot of engineering principles. When we were having some renos done at our house, the gap through the wall from one area into another area was going to be moved about a foot to the right or something like that. And you know, to a novice, I thought, sure, just knock it down. That's how Bob would do it. You know, just knock it down and move it. But fortunately, we had some engineers that were part of the design team. They looked and they said, well, we've got to check the loads. Because if you move a wall a little bit along, then you change the load on the angle of the supports, and are the beams underneath in the basement strong enough, blah, 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 and all that. Good engineering. So, yeah, there's things that need to be considered when we're building. And when God is building his house, there's things he needs to work out. And he's working out the load that one beam can take before another one needs to come under and support it. So don't carry too much, but be there to support your bit when you need to. Anybody heard of Pareto? Everybody's heard of Pareto. He was actually an economist, but the Pareto principle is often talked about. You may know it as the 80-20 rule. There you go, that's better. That's what everyone calls it. He worked out from an economic point of view, but it's actually applicable in many, many aspects, which is kind of the interesting thing about Pareto's rule. But typically, 80% of the outcomes are based on 20% of the inputs. Or another way of saying it, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. You know, and those, anytime now you're genii, you can talk about Pareto and you can say, oh, it's the 80-20 principle. But anytime you look at something, you can usually see that there's this kind of ratio that's going on. And that's true in a lot of organizations. That's true at work. That's true in your neighborhood. It's true, you know, wherever you go, in probably in the shopping stores or in the schools, that 80% of the outcomes are based on 20% of the inputs. Now, I don't think Pareto has any place in the church. Are you hearing me? I don't think Pareto has any place in the church. Now, if he was saved, we'd invite him in. That'd be fine. But his principle cannot be here. Too many churches are getting 80% of their ministry done by 20% of the people. We need 100% of the ministry done by 100% of the people. God builds us into community so that we can be community and help each other. We've just seen all those scriptures of what community really means. He puts us in community so that we can encourage each other, carry each other, keep each other warm, help pull each other out of trouble when we get there. And all those things we saw in the scriptures. If we aren't doing that, then we're the wrong part of Pareto. We need to be doing our piece. If a few bricks disappeared out of your house, would you be concerned? Yeah. If the window had rotten wood around it, would you be concerned? Hopefully, because it's beginning to fall down. We need every piece in that house because it was designed to work that way. We need every piece in the church because God designed it to work that way. And we're not going to go into it now because it's nearly 12. And remember, God gave the fivefold ministries to to build up, to teach, to encourage, and to release, you know, apostleship and pastors and prophets and teachers and pastors. All of us have a role. God has designed the church to work that way. And he's given us a facility. We could do it on the field. We could do all the ministry God wants to do just in the bush somewhere. We did during COVID. We were out in the four weathers. And he's chosen to allow us to have this facility. For a long time, this congregation met in schools, in gymnasiums. And our job was to set up Saturday nights and take down Sundays. And finally, all of us got too old for that. So we said, let's buy a building. Now, we've had this building for 25 or so years. It's starting to wear out. And we need work to be done. We need you to bring your resources, to give generously, to give hours of labor or minutes of labor, even to give your gold and your silver, as we saw in the scripture, to mental understanding. Some people, we just need wisdom of how do you do this, and it's your day job. Oh yeah, that's easy, you do this and this and this all done. Well, this is the regulation in the city. Those sort of things all come together to build the house. And then when we do meet, we have great time on Sundays when we come together and meet here. But a lot of work needs to go on. A lot of people are in ministry. There's no consumers in the church. Actually, that's not true, but I doubt their real understanding of the body of Christ and what he's done in their lives. There should be no consumers in the church. It's not a movie theater where we come and watch a show. It's not a concert where we come and listen to great musicians. It's a place for the community to come and encourage each other to do the things we're gifted to do, to build the house, which is us, within the facility which God has given us to function. And so please, 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 I don't want to sound too heavy, but we do need people to step up and do things. And even if it's just one little job that you do each week. Thank you, Charles. He seems to have won the coffee job for a while. but thank you. I mean, you wander in when you're ready and grab a coffee. Ever think how it got there? It's more like Star Trek than church. Someone had to make the coffee. Moving chairs, setting up sound. We always talk about our fine team that work the sound every week. But Roland is a busy man. Joseph works really hard and supports him. The other two supporters are in UK at the moment with Darren. So, Bob stepped up this morning and helped. Thank you, Bob. But there's help in just setting up for church. There's help in cleaning up. There's help in coming in throughout the week. Stacy has just recently taken on the role of trying to manage all our maintenance and stuff. So thanks, Stacy, for doing that. And so she might be asking you to help out with things. She says she doesn't change light bulbs. Anything up high is not good. So if you change light bulbs, talk to Stacy and say, I can change a light bulb. Don't look at it and say, oh, another light out. I wonder who's going to change that. I would never do that. We're good in here at the moment. But that's because we just recently invested, and a lot of it was a very generous donation over and above, to change the lights. I mean, those who have been here a little bit longer will remember they would flicker and go out randomly. Well, a whole new set of main lights were put in that cost money, and we had a contractor to do that. But anyway, there's things that need to be done, and we need your help. We need people to be part of it. Yeah. Leading groups, bringing community together, opening your house for a home group, Sunday school, nursery. Hannah's got a lot of lists she needs to fill. So lots of things. You can start thinking about what they are. But it's always fun when you do what you're gifted to do. I think there's things like gifts, talents, and skills that are kind of all different things. Most people have skills of some form. Some people have talents, which are super skills. They're really good at doing something. neat stuff. But then there's also gifts. The gifts come from the Lord. He's gifted us. If we continue reading about building the tabernacle and the temple, we would see how the Holy Spirit gifted people to design and do work. So nothing is too small. God doesn't only gift the prophets. He will give gifts to those that are willing to serve. And your basic skills will become highly gifted spiritual input to building the church. So there we go. Let's conclude and we'll pray for a moment and then Joel can come back. But so in conclusion, to be effective in its calling, the church, us, must function at its best. It therefore needs maintenance. And this was a slide, and a couple of these slides were from, in fact, it was 2 years ago, they're talking about, you know, how do we maintain the church, us personally and emotionally and so on, and our gifts, and then also the supporting side of things. We need to be able to maintain the church. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, we're told to fan into flames the gifts. If your gift, whether it's considered super spiritual or super practical, I don't think there's really much difference. They're all serving the Lord in different ways. But if your gift has died down a little bit, it's just a dull ember at the moment, fan it into flames. That word is also used as rekindle or stir up the gifts. You've got them, let's stir them up and let's use them. Also, as a community, we need to be present. I'm just blown away at the moment, and you see snippets and different things, but there seems to be a great move around the world of young people coming to God. There seems to be, certainly the millennials and the Gen Z generations are feeling hopeless. Because they're children of atheists who are children of non-churchgoers. They haven't heard the basic Bible stories. They have nothing to even think about as being an option. But God hasn't forgotten them. And there's stories. I've been receiving Instagram things from UK churches. In Oxford, there's a church there, in Oxford in particular, which is a big university town, of course. Lots of young people there. But there's students and young people in Oxford that are having a dream about Jesus, getting up in the morning and saying, I've got to go to church. And they're just going. They're not even being invited. We used to say, go out and invite your friends. But that, God's not waiting for us anymore. He hasn't got the time to wait for us. So they're waking up and saying, I've got to go to church. Where do they go? Well, they go where they know the Lord is. We want that to happen here. Therefore, we need to be the church that people, when they come to, will find the Lord. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to be present. You know, if five young university people had a dream last night about Jesus saying, come and worship me, they looked up the website, they found, drove here and got here at 10:25 to start, would they be disappointed in who was waiting to receive them? I don't want to put guilt, but I want to challenge us. Or is it just more convenient to take a little bit longer at home and show up during the second song or something? We heard something when we were living and working in Australia for a while. We were just walking out of a church. We were part of a church then that had a couple of morning services, and we were leaving the first one and people coming in for the second one. And we heard somebody say, oh, we're not late yet, they're still singing. That hurt me. That really struck me. As well, the singing is kind of a warm-up act for God later, you know. It's not that way. The very first thing, Hannah and Joel, Nava, Leo, you know, the teams, and Scott and Barb, and the teams that prepare every Sunday are preparing to lead us into his presence. Not when we get here, but when we're waiting to be led into his presence. So let's just think about some of these things. How does my life, and I'm speaking to myself too, how does my life affect what God can do through us? How does my life, my desires, my wishes affect Jesus building this church? It's easy to say, build your church, Lord. Easy to sing those songs. Easy to say, oh yeah, he's the head of the church. But if we're not living it, then there's something wrong. And I want to be ready and present when the people start coming in. They're coming here because they know they'll meet God. Not because they know they've heard, but because God said, hey, go there, because I know I'm present and welcome in that, for that church. Go there, and I'll deal with you. I'll meet you. He might say, don't go there, because they're not ready. We want to be ready for what he's doing. Amen. Committed for community, healthy for community, working for community. Father, we thank you that you build your church. We thank you, Lord, that in scriptures we can see these great promises and these great pictures and these great stories of how you are very active. You are involved in building the community that is your church. And Lord, we pray that you would challenge each of us today. Help us to think about, what is my role in building this church? What is my position in the building? What do I do to keep the building strong and firm? And Jesus, would you please position each of us in the right places of this building as we submit to you as the builder and Father, you as the chief architect. Build your church, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.